When the year of witness was first planned, young people, those who devised it didn't set out to do so. There are about half a dozen of us, I suppose, who got together. And our main concern at that time was that in Britain we now have so mixed a population of Hindus and Muslims and Jews and atheists and agnostics and supposed Christians and Baptists and Jehovah's Witnesses and Methodists and Mormons and what have you, until it seems it's almost impossible to preach the gospel to them. And so we got together, really, to see whether there was a way in which we could communicate to this wide range of people. Out of this, unheralded, really, by us as a group, came out the idea, which with the blessing of God is now prospering, of having first a year of dedication, and then a year of witness in which we shall endeavour to minister the gospel of God to all kinds of people. That's how it started, and it's got off the ground. And it's got off the ground because it has appealed to the hearts and imaginations of brethren and sisters and of others. All of us feel that we would like to be better servants of God than we are now. And so the idea of a year of dedication caught on. It's already 4/12 of the way through. And time slips through one's fingers like the dust of which Peter spoke. And the 31st of December will be upon us. And what kind of people shall we be at the end of this period of dedication? There's no slick, gimmicky, quick, shortcut, electric way of becoming a dedicated person. You sort of can't get wired up to it. To be dedicated is an attitude of heart and mind. And to be dedicated means that you must apply yourself, as in anything else. The boy who is the best swimmer here, the girl who is best at tennis, or best at sewing, or cooking, isn't so by some fortuitous stroke. I know that just occasionally it so happens that some of us have a talent. That does just occasionally happen. But it's application, really. I spoke to a boy across the lunch table who's having his French oral tomorrow for O-level. That rang a bell, I suppose, with one or two other people here. Well, you know that it's absolutely no use going to bed tonight and just hoping that French will spring out of the air tomorrow. You know this well enough. And so it is in everything else, and so it is in being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes by wishing to be, by wanting to be, by taking time, by using prayer, by looking at people who are and trying to imitate them, by being with them. There are no other ways. And might I appeal then to you? After all, at your especially privileged age, dedication really is a banner to hold aloft. My part of the subject is that of ministering the gospel of God. Now, you may feel that we've moved out of your field into somebody else's now. For ministering the gospel of God is, after all, something that some people do and not others. Well, I think some people do it publicly and not others. That's true. Though may I say again, right away, that this matter of ministering the gospel of God publicly, of being able to speak it, isn't something that just comes naturally either. The fact that I can just pick the verses out of the air of "unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. For God shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things that God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Because God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead, and so on. It does not just come, though it may sound, like a parrot. It comes by constant application. That's how. At school, as far as I was concerned, yes, I was a member of the Literary and Debating Society. And I did take the prize for it. But at 19, I began to minister the gospel of God. I'm no good at toasts and speeches for other things. I've got no taste for it either. But that particular talent that happened in God's goodness to have been given to me, which could have been turned, I know, into a whole host of other channels, highly profitable channels, no doubt, which would have finished up in dust, were by God's grace turned to something else. Now, among you, there are people like this who can witness. Sisters who are able to teach children in Sunday school. Young men who, just by their very zest and enthusiasm, are able to bring others into the youth circle. May I just ask now, how many of you have not got parents in the truth? Just put your hand up. All right. Now just have a little look round. These are people whose parents are not in the truth. Now if we're going to analyse and say, well, how did you come into contact? Some will say it was youth circle, somebody with whom I was working. Somebody made personal contact with them. And so this gospel spreads out by this means. And this is the way in which you and I, during the year of witness, are going to be able to do this. I, personally, am not very good at communicating person to person in just passing on the gospel. I find this somewhat difficult. I suppose it's partly due to speaking in public. I tend to address, as Queen Victoria said to one of her ministers, "You speak to me, Prime Minister, as though you were addressing a meeting." And that may be what my fault is, I don't know. But there are ways of communicating, and some people have the gift, an easy gift of communication. Now, if you've got that, then use it to good purpose and not to a bad purpose. Minister this gospel of God. I know there are plenty of sisters, brethren, who as soon as they get on a bus, in a train, within 5 minutes they're talking about the truth. And they're not what you would call the brethren who've got the greatest fluency or the greatest command of Scripture or of English, but have a means of communication. Let's use it. Turn into this 15th chapter then of the Acts of the Apostles. I know you've reached the stage now where anything that anybody says to you just enters your mind and pushes something else out. Where absolutely, just flows right over the top. Did I say the 15th of Acts? I meant 15th of Romans. 15th of Acts is the Council of Jerusalem. I won't go there for the moment. Now, let it be made plain that Paul had not seen these people to whom he was writing, and he loved them. It was a love that was born of Christ, who, with all that power, and with all his wonderful words, never preached very far outside the land in which he was born. made no overseas journeys, just fled as a refugee into Egypt as a babe, but not again. Never went to Rome or to Athens. Didn't even go to Antioch. Didn't preach in Alexandria. Just in that one little land, all the gospel was contained until it burst out with that tremendous power when those first apostles said, "And we are witnesses that he is risen from the dead." And Paul, caught up after all the others, after persecuting them, is caught up and now has this fervor in his preaching. So he writes to the Romans and said, "I'd like to come and see you." But he mentions his preaching, and there's an interesting word in this verse 16 of Romans 15, that I should be, it isn't the minister, it's our minister. He wasn't the only one. A minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. And do you know that word minister has got to do with being a priest? The one who officiated at the altar and offered sacrifice. Now, just think of what Paul had in mind when he was offering the gospel to other people. This might help us to preach next year. I've got to have something else to tell me. You know, I was always glad when I went round canvassing, when I knocked on the door and I said, "They're not in." You know, that was my joy. Now, maybe you're like that. There are others who, as soon as the door is open, they put their foot there. So, you know, they keep it open. They're just the kind of canvasser. But Paul had a concept of his work as though he was standing at the altar offering to Jesus. And he said to himself, "Lord, I brought you the Gentiles." That's it. There it is. Exactly that. Same verse. That the offering up of the Gentiles. So one by one, they came back to Jesus to tell him, although he was in heaven, "Lord, we've been to Troas and over into Macedonia, and they believed you there. And men from Philippi have come, Lord. I'll give you their names, Lord." And so they brought their offerings to Jesus. And he was the center of all that they had to do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, take the same word. You know this well enough. This passage of Scripture, this is the one that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, "which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Notice the words there, "which are able." Not which might be, could be, possibly, probably. They are able. It's like the word that goes with Jesus. He is able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. This is the ability that lies in Jesus and in nobody else. There's no president or king or ruler or trade union leader or any kind of person that is idolized by others who has this ability within him. He is able. Ah, what did the verse say that I quoted last night? Was it in the prayer? "According to the power by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." That's the end. All knees are going to bend in the end. Every single one. And those that have done it voluntarily in this life will then be there in service in the kingdom of God. So this little passage then here about he is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So the Holy Scriptures given by inspiration of God, and the word Holy Scriptures is Scriptures for the priests. They are priestly writings. That's the idea that lies here. This is a word to be ministered to us as from God, or from us as to other people. We underestimate, you and I, just how much information we have about the Lord Jesus Christ. The average man in the street has none at all. Can't finish the Lord's Prayer as you begin it. Knows next to nothing about the gospel at all. It's no use our blaming these people. They're just ignorant now, and their children are brought up in ignorance. But they're not satisfied. Many of them are not satisfied, and you can minister the gospel of God to them by the way you behave, by the happiness that you show, and by the words that you use, and by the invitations that you extend, by bringing them to your youth group, or Sunday school, or evening meeting, by bringing them into the association, the friendship of those who hold the gospel dear. This is the way Witness 76 is going to go. It's not going to go by any kind of miracle. It's going to go by prayer and by our personal dedication. Now, I'm quite sure that there are people here who will be able to undertake this work. Now, we've got to equip ourselves for it. It takes time. Precious commodity. Take it from something else. I just had no time whatsoever when the Year of Witness came up. I was already fully occupied. One takes it on board. And something else gives. Something that doesn't matter at all. All kinds of things I'd like to do. They don't matter. Most of them will be done in the kingdom. I'd have to walk the Pennine Way. I'd have to walk the South Downs Way. I'd like to walk the Foss Way. I'd like to walk the Milford Sound Way in South Island, New Zealand. A whole host of things I'd like to do. But a pair of boots, well, they're in the back of the car. That's where they are. 5 minutes, yes, I might put them on, just walk, because I like doing it. But time just pushes all that out, right out. And it's filled with more precious things. Now, you've got time. Don't say you haven't got time. Everybody's got time. You always have time. Especially when a girlfriend comes along, you've always got time. Always. Surprising how much time there is. That strange, moony look that comes over the face. Kind of raptured imbecility. You go up to people and say, you say, "Are you in?" And they sort of come to. Well, now we've all got time. All we've got to do is to learn to use it. Now, might I say, learn just some simple way in which you are going to pass on the gospel to somebody else. All that Andrew did was to say, "We found him. Come and see." And they went and saw. Other people had to be reasoned with. And so Paul was in the school of Tyrannus, and there he was daily reasoning out of the scriptures. For some of us, we'd have to learn to reason. If you get your Bible, get out a book in which the truth is preached, get a pamphlet out, go through it, mark your Bible, have some way of making other people interested. It isn't how much you know, it's how you know what you know. You know this very well. It's the enthusiasm of people that carries us along. It's not the man who's got the great egg head with all the information in it that makes us move. Not at all. It's somebody that says, "Come and see." That's it. And we're all able to say that. Determine that you're going to get somebody into your youth group. Now, if you're an Isolation League scholar, get somebody else to join the Isolation League Sunday School. Just one other person. You're able to do that. Somebody will write to them. As once you've found that extra person for the Isolation League Sunday School, you go home and make up your minds. If you think the Isolation League is worthwhile, then get hold of that idea and pass it on to somebody else. Say, "Look, I know Uncle Kelvin. He'll be your uncle too, if you just write to him." And so here at Swanwick, get other people to come to Swanwick instead of going off to other places. And so these attitudes of mind and of dedication, of getting to know your Bible that little bit better, It isn't brains that help us to know our Bible. Because it certainly isn't brainlessness either. But it isn't brains, it's just that dedication of looking, of just opening a verse of scripture out and suddenly seeing something in it that you never saw before. There's a whole host of them. Just come back to Romans 15 a moment. I just want to point out a couple of things in there. Now he says in verse 17, I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. So Paul was constantly exuding a joy about what Jesus Christ had done in him. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. That's it. That's how they sang the songs of the Old Testament times. That's how Paul felt it. When they met him, they knew there was something different. They despised him. He wasn't a personable man at all, so it would appear from Scripture, until he began to preach. And then they saw that he was a vehicle for Christ. And Christ had chosen him for that purpose. He had some affliction, whatever it was, that Christ wouldn't take away, that made it harder for him to do his very work. But that very difficulty was the thing which finally made him glory. But despite that, Christ was speaking through him these good things. And so he says, verse 18, I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me. I won't brag, talk about, think about other things at all. But, he says, verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully, notice that word there, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. That word, if I might just check for a moment, is that I have fulfilled the gospel of Christ. I have fully preached it, I have fulfilled it in myself. Now, that's how we preach it. Take all its parts and make them known, all the joys that lie in it. And so he says in verse 20, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But he's done it so that they that have not heard shall understand. So might we take this as our banner for this coming year? They that have not heard shall understand. You know, we take it for granted that the Bible is in English. Don't we? Almost as though it was an English Bible originally. Not written in Hebrew and Greek. It didn't belong to us at all. We weren't in this scene. We weren't in the picture, you and I. We almost regard it as a Western religion. If people were to ask, oh, they talk about religions of the East and religions of the West. This is the religion right from Jerusalem that has come out almost with nuclear power to where we are. And here it is, and we are reading the words written 2,000 years ago as though they were personally written for us, because they were. Because when Paul preached, his pen had all of us in mind. And that was the ministering of the gospel of God. Now, young people, Acts chapter 8, just one little verse, just one little verse. This is how they set about their work, these first people, all different kinds of people. You might say, oh, it's all right for Harry Tennant talking. He can talk. But Moses said, when God said to him, I'm going to deliver the children of Israel by you. He said, what, by me? He said, yes, you're going to speak to Pharaoh. He said, What, me, Lord? You're going to speak to Pharaoh. Oh, he said, send somebody else. He said, well, I'll give you your brother to go with you. But when it comes to the crunch, Moses speaks. And God had nobody else but Moses. Nobody else at all. Jesus has nobody else but us. There are not angels doing it full time, and we are just helping out. The only people he has to do his work are you and me. He's got no other voice, no other hands, no other eyes, no other feet, no other people. It's a marvel that God has said, I will do it through you. And that's how it's going to be done. Oh, Jeremiah said, no, Lord, not me. Well, I'll show you a verse in a moment that made Jeremiah an absolute marvel. But just look at this 25th verse of Acts 8. When they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. What about it? What about taking a village on? Eh? A group of you young men, what about taking a village on? Don't say you can't do it. I know you can't. But you can do it through Jesus Christ. You will never find such joy as being together as young people with a task to do. Our world today is rudderless. It doesn't know what it wants. It moves about in a kind of aimless way. Never really happy at all. If you get a task to do, inspire yourself with service, you'll do it. What about taking a village on? Just think it over. Decide, a group of you, that we'll take on a village. We will make known the gospel of Jesus in that village. You may form more than one group. I was in New Zealand and I met a sister who came up to me and said, you won't know me. I said, no. She said, I was part of that Sunday school that you had on the pavement in Carshalton in 1937. I said, I remember it well. Things weren't going all that well, but the young children gathered around, and so we had a Sunday school on the pavement. And that's where it started. And that Sunday school, by the way, went on straight through World War II. And there were several baptisms from it. So opportunity comes, and you can start to do this work. 18 or 19, it doesn't matter. The Lord just uses all kinds of people. He used the apostles, and they're only 30 years old. They weren't old people like Peter. Or even older people like me. They were just young people, like many of you. And they were the ones that took the gospel. Your facility for preaching the gospel increases by doing it. And you know that. I said I'd show you a verse in Jeremiah, didn't I? Jeremiah 25. This one is a verse that always thrills me. And then we must really come to an end of what we've got to say. Jeremiah, perhaps one day I'll study him particularly. I forget now whether we've actually done Jeremiah in detail in Swanee. You have indeed. I'm sure that it was worthwhile, because I've got a great love for this man. A very great love. He hadn't got a mournful gospel, but he suddenly became seized with power. He realized that what God had given to him was tremendous. And tucked away in this 25th chapter of Jeremiah, just look at how God tells him, you'll see a remarkable thing. Verse 15, God speaks to Jeremiah. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the cup, the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. They've been particularly wicked. Then I took the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me, to wit, Jerusalem, Judah, Egypt, the land of Uz, the Philistines, Ashkelon, Ekron, Edom, Moab, Tyre, Sidon, the kings of the isles beyond the sea, Dedan and Timan and Buz, and all the kings of Arabia and the mingled peoples, Zimri and Elam, the Medes, and right down to Babylon. In other words, God put history in Jeremiah's hands. Just one man's voice. And when he spoke, the nations moved. Just with his words, because God was with him. And so it's going to be in this year of witness. You and I together, all of us together, are going to make the gospel of Jesus Christ known, as Paul said, in the regions beyond you. Whatever they are, maybe it's your next door neighbor. Maybe it's the person you go to school with. Just a word, that's all. Just pass it on and get the message through. If you feel powerless, remember Jeremiah. If you feel powerless, remember Moses and all that nation he brought out of Egypt at the command of God. We know the gospel is right and that this is truth. Now what we need to do is to pass this most precious of all things to other people. There is nothing that you could give to anybody else more precious than this gospel of God. Nothing. Just take it on the wing of a prayer and bring it as an offering to God. For the gospel's sake. For Jesus' sake. He who from heaven will strengthen us. I came to Troas, said Paul, to preach the gospel. The glorious gospel of Christ. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of the grace of God. All these are the titles that the Bible contains to describe this mighty work that you and I, for one period of 365 days especially, but truly for all our lives, are going to undertake. There is, however, a warning. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is my last scripture. Some of you perhaps will undertake it overseas in the Bible mission. A year after your college training or university training. Or make a decision that you want to go out to some place. There's work to be done in many places, and you can undertake it. You don't know how well blessed you are until you see some of these places where there are so few people, just aching for help, and you're well able. You must be well able to give it. After all you have received, many of you swan it after swan it. All that you have got, why not give? But just how one gives. Here's Paul. We better just look at ourselves to make quite sure where we stand. So this brings together dedication and witness in one little section. Verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 10, at 9. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth in the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Just to be lost, to be on the wrong shore, when Jesus has passed over with all his saints, and to be left behind. Just think, if we minister the gospel, both in how we live and how we speak, we shall find that when the Lord Jesus Christ himself returns, he will minister it unto us in all its abundance and complete that work of redemption. And there'll be such a swelling that this world has never seen. Everybody will be young. All the oldest, right down the ages, will be there. And everyone brimful with the marvelous energy of immortality. Every voice ready to sing. Perfect harmony. And no one will have to go home.